Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and 1 on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Jeremy Davis. You may begin, sir.
Oh, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. My name is Jeremy Davis, and I'm the Executive Director of Pride at Work, the LGBT constituency group within organized labor. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is poised to become the largest so-called free trade agreement in history. And while the TPP has many problems, today we're focusing on the continued inclusion of Brunei in the agreement negotiations after that country enacted a strict new penal code that will, among other things, target gays and lesbians for the death penalty and further subjugate women and religious minorities. Two letters, one to Secretary of State John Kerry from 119 members of Congress and another to President Obama from several leading LGBT equality organizations, expressed deep concerns about keeping Brunei in the TPP. Today, we're joined by Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin and Shane Larson, co-president of Pride at Work, to discuss these letters and answer any questions that you may have. Congressman Mark Pocan will be our first speaker. Please hold your questions until the end. Thanks. Congressman Pocan represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District and has been a staunch champion of LGBT and labor issues in his time in Congress. We're both honored and thrilled he can join us today to discuss the letter he co-authored with Congresswoman Ileana Rose-Lehman and was signed by 117 of his colleagues in the House. Congressman, take it away.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, and we appreciate people listening in today on the call. This is an issue that I think we found to be very important to address, not only as we're in the middle of negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but as we're in Pride Month, and obviously this is something at the forefront of the problem that we're having with Brunei being included in negotiations with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Our own State Department has cited Brunei for, in their words, arbitrary detention, limits on freedom of speech, press, assembly, and association, restrictions on religious freedom, discrimination against women, restricted labor rights, and the exploitation of foreign workers. And just most recently, their implementation of Sharia law has called for the stoning of gays and lesbians, as well as adulterers and other categories. But it's something that it flies in the face of, I think, what we've tried to do all too often in a good way, which is trying to make sure that the U.S. government can try to influence human rights conditions and conditions in other countries when we have an ability to. And right now, we have a perfect ability to do that as we're negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is a chance to make sure that countries that are going to be brought into a trade agreement also have to abide by things that we would consider important to the vast majority of Americans. And human rights certainly is one of those categories, as much as labor rights and other issues that have been brought forward with concerns that we have with Brunei. This is a 21st century trade agreement. We should be protecting workers and human rights. And right now, Brunei has got a bad track record in all these areas. And we think, and the 119 members who signed the letter, that this is our opportunity to really engage the administration, both the U.S. Trade Rep and Secretary Kerry, in our ability to use our country's influence to try to change the really terrible human rights conditions that exist in Brunei so that everyone can have that proper access to the human rights and the dignity that they deserve. The Trans-Pacific Partnership should not provide special trade privileges to countries that continue to violate workers' rights or restrict the right to organize or to treat people through human rights as they do with Sharia law. Protecting these rights is a fundamental cornerstone of American values, and our trade policy should not reinforce the bad actions by nations like Brunei through the trade agreements that we make. So this is what we sent a letter out. We think it's very important that while we're in the negotiation stage, they should not be part of negotiations while they are still adhering to these conditions. We are especially strong in that language. What we don't want to see is a side agreement because I think this administration has been so fantastic on human rights, especially for the LGBT community. But we've seen side agreements in trade deals in the past where we'll say we'll try to get something done outside of a trade deal, and we don't get that result. I think the best example is probably in Colombia around labor rights. In order to pass that, in order to get the votes, we are assured that there would be some protections for organized labor and for workers, and we did a side agreement which has largely been ignored. So what we're trying to say is let's do it up front. Let's not do it as a separate side agreement as we move forward with Brunei. Let's make sure while we're negotiating, this is our chance to see if they want to be part of negotiations, they need to clean up their act. And that's the letter that was signed in a bipartisan way with 119 members.
Thank you, Congressman. Our next speaker is Shane Larson. Shane is co-president of Pride at Work and the legislative director for the Communication Workers of America. Pride at Work authored the letter signed by other leading LGBT organizations asking President Obama to exclude Brunei from further TPP negotiations. Shane, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, everyone, for joining this call today, and especially thank you to Congressman Pocan for not only his leadership on this, but on so many other issues. Our community, our LGBT community, is really fortunate to have him, one of our leaders, not only in Congress fighting every day for our full equality, but on so many issues important to working families and Americans, and especially the folks in Wisconsin and in his district. He's a go-getter, he's a rising star, and we really appreciate his leadership on this. We in the LGBT community, represented by Pride at Work, and especially our colleagues at leading organizations such as the Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and the National Center for Transgender Equality, we're really proud and happy to stand with him and 120 of his colleagues, almost 120, in writing the administration to let them know that the inclusion of Brunei in this trade agreement is absolutely outrageous at this point, and negotiations with them should cease until they have agreed to come into the 21st century in terms of their treatment of their citizens. We need to acknowledge the fact from the LGBT community that this administration has really been helpful in making great strides in the fight for full equality here in the United States for all LGBT citizens, both in marriage equality, both in ending workplace discrimination. The president did a really great job earlier this week at a fundraising speech in New York highlighting the great work that they have been proud to lead and identifying that there's still a lot more work that needs to be done, but recognizing that and moving forward. And we applaud the administration for their strong leadership in LGBT equality. But we as a community, throughout the community, recognize that we will never be fully equal until all of our LGBT brothers and sisters all around the globe not only are treated with equality, but are also no longer facing intimidation, persecution, and death. That as long as that continues to happen, we will never be fully free or equal. Secretary Clinton, when she was the Secretary of State, really made a very eloquent statement at the United Nations, where she recognized for the first time by an administration that LGBT equality, that LGBT rights globally are also human rights, and that the United States was going to be at the forefront of fighting to ensure that that LGBT equality and human rights protections were part of an advancement across the globe. Well, this is an opportunity right now, these trade agreements, for this administration to prove that those words by Secretary Clinton, by then Secretary Clinton, were not just pretty rhetoric or eloquent statements, but those actually meant something. And this is an opportunity for them to prove that with Brunei. With Brunei's movement forward on implementing the strict Sharia law that targets for stoning to death of anyone who's LGBT, of the subjugation of women, the whipping of women for offenses such as showing their ankles, those are all the sorts of things that this administration, that the United States needs to lead on around the world to put an end to. And so we demand that the administration stop negotiating with Brunei, work to exclude them directly if they do not move forward, and that if they do move forward, that to Congressman Pocan's point, that those protections are enshrined in the trade agreement, not some meaningless side agreement where we get some sort of promises of future advancements, but that there are some actual enforceable changes that take place. And so we fundamentally believe that if this administration is committed to a 21st century trade agreement, as they say they are, the protection of human rights, the protections of LGBT citizens are a fundamental part of 21st century trade agreements, and countries like Brunei should not be rewarded by including them into these trade agreements, especially when you're talking about a country that is implementing barbaric 5th century law, not moving forward into the 21st century. So thank you for everyone for joining, and thanks again for those members of Congress, especially Congressman Pocan, who have led the effort on this.
Great. Thanks, Shane. And now we have time for a few questions.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. We will now pause to allow questions to enter the queue. Our first question is from Angelo Young from International Business Times. Your line is open.
Hi. I guess the main question I have, and it may be a little bit off the scope, is that I think of Saudi Arabia. You know, they were put into the WTO about, I can't remember, it was a few years ago. So I'm wondering, are there efforts to sort of go after or out or put pressure on the private sector after the fact to sort of force them to sort of rectify doing business in countries like this that might discriminate against women or gays or, and the like?
Hi, this is Mark. That's not something I would know offhand. It's not what I'm working on. So,
this is sort of the strategy is to preempt before the free trade agreement is signed.
Exactly. The problem is, in the past, what's happened when we've done, I think the best example would probably be in Colombia, when we had a lot of concerns. I've been to Colombia 4 times, so I helped form a sister city with Dane County, Wisconsin, which Madison's a part of, with a sister city in Colombia. Tammy Baldwin and I actually have traveled down there when we both were in local government. And we've seen the problems directly with problems with labor unions in that country and how they're treated and labor leaders who are killed. So when the trade agreement came around with Colombia, people wanted to make sure those concerns were addressed, and they promised a side agreement. And they did a side agreement, but nothing really got resolved specifically with that because it wasn't part of the actual agreement. So in this case, what we're just trying to say specifically with Brunei is they shouldn't even be included in the negotiation process if we can't have them live up to the human rights conditions that we so often as a country have done in other areas. And this is our perfect opportunity because they want to be a part of the trade agreement, but for them to be a part of the trade agreement, we can best influence it now. So that's why the letter came out from members of Congress. This is the perfect timing as the negotiations are happening. And we feel we can have the best impact on change in this particular country by doing the letter.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and if I could just add to that, I believe that the LGBT community has really does work across the board to try to put pressure on companies, either through the private sector or through the government, to try to improve their treatment of LGBT citizens. And if things like the TPP were to go through and folks wanted to try to increase economic boycotts against Brunei, the Sultan especially, through boycotting of the hotels, or for example the city of Los Angeles decides through their procurement policy that they're not going to do any business with Brunei-owned entities, those two hotels in L.A., that would be struck down as a unfair trade burden under the terms of the TPP. So it really neuters our ability to take any sort of individual private sector actions as well.
Oh, that makes sense. Thank you very much.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. Our next question is from Stephen Lee from Bloomberg BNA. Your line is open.
Thank you. Congressman, you mentioned off the top that there were some concerns about the exploitation of foreign workers in Brunei, and I'm just wondering if there have been any accounts or reports of U.S. Contractors or U.S. citizens being subjected to some of this kind of harsh treatment.
Sure. So what I was addressing was the State Department that actually had laid that out in their concerns and their words. So that question probably would best go to the State Department because they're the ones who actually expressed that as a list of the concerns they have within Brunei. Specifically, I can't say I know of any. Maybe Shane might know something else as far as someone who's been treated differently. But also, this is a fairly recent development of the implementation of the Sharia law. And I know that recently, I think the Hollywood Reporter sent someone to kind of go in for a couple days into Brunei to kind of start figuring out how this works. So as Sharia law is implemented, a lot more things could be happening. But I don't know, Shane, if you can address that. I was just reading from the State Department report.
Yeah, I don't have any specific examples. I mean, I know that in terms of the Sharia law that it's being phased in over time, and so this is our best opportunity to try to put an end to that before, at least in terms of the implementation of Sharia law, before the stonings start.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Anna Basudi from Politico. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thanks for holding the call. I just had a question, two quick questions. Have you gotten any response from the administration on your concerns at this point yet? And if they were to conclude TPP with Brunei included as is and, you know, finish the deal, I mean, what efforts would that, you know, launch a major campaign to get members of Congress to vote against the TPP based on this issue alone? Or, you know, what would be sort of the response, I guess, that you all would mount to this?
Sure. Well, let me address the first question first. We haven't had any direct response. However, we have had some indirect kind of secondhand comments that they're aware they'd like to work on something, but that's where I think the idea of a side agreement could happen. But they're talking about trying to offer something like that. The problem is they don't work. It's the classic I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today wimpy argument where you know, just pass the trade agreement and we'll make sure we get this in place. And then as we saw in Colombia, what was in place is not what we intended and isn't addressing the problem. So we haven't heard anything directly, but indirectly, I think there's been some consideration of a side agreement. To the second part, you know, this clearly just, I think, adds to the growing pressure that is out there on Congress about why the Trans-Pacific Partnership has a problem in passing. It's not just that you know, many members, including you know, my freshman class who are sitting down and trying to read parts of it, people who have been around for a while, they have concerns around food safety. We have concerns around environmental issues. We have concerns around labor. We have concerns around currency manipulation. We have concerns around intellectual property. You can go down the list of things, and because you know, the process is so secretive, you know, it's very difficult to get answers. And when we have sometimes engaged the U.S. trade rep, quite honestly, we haven't got as direct answers as the courtesy they should be getting from the people who are about to vote on the contract they're trying to negotiate. Very specifically in this case, this is a concern, I think, where there are a lot of members consider human rights and our ability to change human rights across the globe to be imperative. And I think this is one more of those issues that if we can't get cleaned up front, the Trans-Pacific Partnership will have a harder time trying to pass. And I think I just saw an article recently by Albert Hunt, who the White House was talking about why they think they can get this done this year. And I think they're making some very large leaps of faith that are based more on the leaping than the faith, because they're assuming because there are so many new members who haven't got a past position, there's people they can talk to. But you know, we have 151 members who've signed a letter saying we don't support fast track. We are only having growing concerns about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and this is just one more of those concerns that brings in different audiences than we've had in the past on trade deals. So now that you've got major national organizations like Human Rights Campaign that's concerned about this, I don't know if HRC has ever taken a position before when it comes to parts of a trade deal. So I think this certainly makes it more difficult to pass it if they don't do anything to try to address the concerns of having Brunei involved in the negotiations.
I'll just say that I think that was a spot-on perfect question, is that this opposition is growing, to the Congressman's point. A number of these organizations, both on the letter that went from 12 national women's organizations last, led by Feminist Majority last week, and then this letter from the leading LGBT organizations, only shows that this opposition to this is growing more and more, and there are going to be a lot of reasons why to oppose this agreement.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And it appears we have no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to Jeremy Davis for closing remarks.
Great, thank you. And thanks for joining us today, everyone. And thank you to Congressman Pocan for joining us, and to Shane Larson as well. And that's all we have for today. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.